Hi, it's Diane, and it is Wednesday, the 24th of October. So far, I'm here with Mary and Melanie. Let's do quick check-ins and celebration. Mary, you and I were talking before. We want to give just a quick synopsis of what you've been focused on. It sounds like things have been going good. Go ahead.
Yeah, things have been going good. I've been working on responding instead of reacting, so I had kind of gotten out of the habit of doing that. And the thing that we're focused on now is trying to figure out some oppositional responses for my daughter at school.
Got it. Melanie, what about you?
All right. Well, I am celebrating absolutely fantastic teacher conferences with both kids. I'm so lucky in the school we have and the skill of our teachers. And I've been making progress on the challenge I've been working on. But there's more. There's always more.
Well, so Mary wants to take aim on oppositional behavior at school. Where do you want to take aim?
So I am still taking aim on my reactivity during morning routine when I encounter oppositional or unfocused behavior.
Okay, so my reaction to what have you been trying so far, and what have you noticed?
So things if I kind of take the big picture view, things have already improved a lot in that morning routine is a lot calmer. But we're getting to school 20 to 30 minutes late on a fairly regular basis. And I would like to have a calm morning routine that is also a timely morning routine. And I notice that the more I see or experience heel dragging, the more likely I'm to get frustrated, start feeling angry, start feeling more reactive, have a hard time just kind of managing myself when that happens. And recently I've been able to see past the anger sometimes, and just I've had a lot of sadness coming up, and I've been working with that. And still, it's taking a long time.
Yeah. Well, so it sounds like, and I guess if this is a question I want to ask, is how long have you been working on calm in the morning, and do you feel like it's stable enough to move on to the next piece, which would be calm and timely?
I think I'm probably pushing the stability a little bit, but I need to have my morning start sooner. And there are over the next couple of weeks, there are a number of times that I actually have time points to meet in the morning, and so the routine becomes a bit more critical.
Okay, so I'm wondering whether it makes more sense to take aim on your reaction in the morning still.
I think so, because the more that I am, the more skillfully I'm managing myself, the more likely I can get myself up in the morning and sort of be the person managing and micromanaging things in a way that we don't get to, like, the super frustrating as often. It's just that
hang on a second. So let me interrupt you for a second, because something just popped into my head really loud, so I want to say it out loud. What would it mean to take aim on things that you could do personally that might make the morning more time effective?
Yeah, that's kind of that's kind of, I think that's the next refinement.
Right, because then it's like, so if you're doing what you can to stay calm and you're enrolling them in the process, there may be things that you can do that might keep things moving that wouldn't require behavior change on their part, which would potentially be more pressure than the stable environment is ready for. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, at this point, it's my schedule routine fujitsu that's determining and you know it's kind of all my 8-year-old can do to go along with the program, and if she starts feeling rushed, she like goes twice as slowly.
Got it. Okay, so. Mary, let me just go quickly back to you. You were taking aim on the oppositional behavior you're starting to see at school with your daughter. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Okay, so this week we are talking about activating the brain, which is one of the core critical response areas. And, you know, in the last call, and if you were not with us last 2 weeks ago, I would encourage you to go back and listen to the recording where we talked about the different areas of executive function and about gathering information, because I think that there's a lot of connection in here with the brain and focusing on the brain with all the challenges of executive function. And, you know, what the important piece of activating the brain is really threefold, and that's what we have in the sheet here. It's about making sure the brain's operating on all cylinders, and that's true for everybody with your ADHD, anxiety, nothing, you know, regulating moods is important. If you've got a kid, we on the call yesterday, we had a couple of moms who had daughters who were hormonal. And so regulating moods is another, you know, activating the brain is another thing can help with some mood regulation. And then if your child does have specific ADHD or executive function issues, activating the brain can be a good way to support that. And so it's not necessarily about medication, although medication falls in this. The piece of this is just to notice when you've got a child with a challenge, how does activating the brain fall in line, right? So if you've got a child who's having a really difficult time getting started on homework in the afternoon, it may be because they're tired or hungry after a long day at school. If you have a child who's having a hard time with the morning routine, Melanie, you were just mentioning this, part of that could be because if she's on medication, the medication hasn't kicked in yet, or her brain isn't woken, fully awakened yet, or your brain isn't fully awakened yet. Yeah, so all of those things. Yeah, all those things, right? So all those things kind of come into play. So as we're looking at the challenges that we're focused on, we want to say, okay, so what's going on in the brain at this moment? What is it about the brain's health and the brain's functioning that make this situation harder or easier? And is there some action that I could take? So if you have a child who's on medication, could we do this at a time of day when their medication is kicked in more? If you're using exercise to activate the brain, do you need to build in more routine to have exercise before homework or exercise in the middle of homework or whatever it is? But the goal here is really to focus on brain activation as one of the tools in your tool belt whenever you're focusing on a particular challenge area. So I'm curious what comes up for the two of you around activating the brain. And out of curiosity, with these particular situations, how that might be playing in.
Well, for mine with the morning routine, I've definitely noticed that she has a hard time shutting her brain off at night and switching to sleep. And she has just as much of a hard time ramping up in the morning. And her favorite days are when we don't go anywhere and she can have a lazy morning. And I've noticed that it takes her somewhere between 45 minutes and an hour to really start coming to full alertness and energy. And she's, you know, until she's ready to start moving herself, you know, I have to do everything. So So it things go a lot better now that I, you know, go kiss her first thing in the morning, and then, you know, and she gets like 15 minutes in bed before I come and actually take her to where we snuggle and I read to her. And then I'd like to start breakfast sooner, but she's not even ready to sit up on her own yet. And
right,
then,
so you notice that her brain really needs a warm-up.
Yeah, it needs a warm-up. It needs a long warm-up. And when I was getting curious, she said, well, if you could wake me up an hour earlier. And I said, to wake you up an hour earlier, I would need to put you to bed an hour earlier. And she looked at me and said, no, thank you.
So I'm curious about that. So one of the things that you're saying is that you've got a hard rule around the number of hours she gets. She's actually asleep. Is that what your boundary is there?
My boundary is she needs as much sleep as she's getting, and she could probably use even more. So if we move her wake up time, we need to move her go to bed time, because I don't want to short her. And ideally, I would find a way to get her more, but that's not been practical.
Well, so I guess the question I want to ask, Melanie, is if you were going to – so you may have already done the detective work on this, and you may be making an assumption. And so the question is there a safe test you could do to see if that boundary is flexible or whether it's really rigid?
Well, given that when I don't need to wake her up for school, she's generally sleeping an hour later, I don't want to touch her. I don't want to shorten her sleep time any, because I know how important that is for regulation. And we can see when she's having a harder time falling asleep than right now that it definitely gets worse.
Okay. So if – okay. So I guess the question is, you know that she needs a long warm-up. She needs several steps to her warm-up. So the problem you're trying to solve is what you can do to get her going a little faster?
Either to compress her warm-up, or when she does start moving, to get her through the essential steps more quickly.
Mm-hmm. So
without her feeling rushed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think that's the piece of it is without her feeling rushed. And so does she, right now, is there a timer on her wake-up routine, or is it just as it happens?
Oh, I have lights and music and songs at different times going off. So we have a pretty strong set of cues about how time is progressing in the morning.
Okay. And how interested is she in changing the situation?
She has no interest in changing the situation. I mean, the one lever that I'm trying right now and has a teeny bit of success, as I said, your teacher said so many wonderful things about you, and the only thing that she wanted was to see more of you in the morning so she could say hello to you when she says hello to the other students. So she seems to be agreeing that that would be an okay thing, or at least she's not against it. And I'm hoping that getting one or two more accommodations in the classroom are going to make the classroom that little bit more inviting, less exhausting to look forward to.
Got it. Okay. So before we get too far into this, Melanie, what I'm going to do is I'm going to shift to Mary and
Absolutely.
See if there's anything around activating the brain generally that kind of comes up for you, particularly around this situation with your daughter at school.
Nothing is coming to my mind. I'm kind of having a hard time making a connection as to what that would be.
Well, so the reality is that if she's having a behavior change, right? So in the past,
yeah.
ODD has not been an issue at school. You've had challenges with her at home.
Right.
Let's take a step backwards and get curious. What are several things that might be going on for her that might be leading to the behavior change?
Oh, okay. Okay. That I can answer. I was just, maybe stuck on the
And track. one of those might have to do with activating the brain. In fact, I don't know how old your daughter is, but the hormone thing might be part of what's going on, or it could just be, I mean, some kids this time of year because of the shorter days end up, you know, more moody or more whatever, right?
So, or sometimes as they go up grade levels, there's less recess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that's that's what I was trying to nicely explain to her teachers at parent teacher conference. I said she could just learn fourth grade material in a kindergarten setting. I think that we would be great. I don't think we would have any school problems. Because,
so tell me what that means practically. That she needs more physical activity, more breaks, more what?
I think that school is less fun. And so it's getting to be less fun every year. There's less games, songs, crafts, PE's thing, less recess. There's less like floor time. Now we're in, you know, sitting in desks, and it's maybe a little bit more of a lecture style than what she's had, instead of, you know, always breaking off and doing centers and that kind of thing. So I do think, and because she has expressed, she reminds me all the time that school is so much worse this year. I think so. We definitely have, there's an attitude. There's like a definite frustration and disappointment on her part. She had teachers that she adored last year, and her reading specialist she adored, and everything was just like as good as it could be for third grade. And this year her teachers are less exciting, maybe a little bit less connected. One of her teachers, I feel, is very task-oriented and less relationship-oriented. And so my daughter has kind of shut her down. Because I think if she makes a connection with people, then she'll do anything. So the
interconnection with this week's topic for me is around what motivates her. And it seems like fun motivates her, that relationship connection motivates her. And that's part of what activates her brain, is when those things are in place. And so, As you're working with the school on how to, you know, and sharing with them some of what you observe about what does help her to focus, what helps her to stay engaged, you know, the parallel to that is, you know, how self-aware is she about what made third grade more fun, and what kinds of things she might do as a fourth grader that might make it a little bit lighter and easier to cope with the harder grade.
Yeah.
So what comes up for you as I say that?
Well, and that's really hard to figure out. I don't know how she could make it.
How self-aware is she? If you said that, so instead of trying to solve it for her, if you posed that question to her, how would she react to that? Is that something she's self-aware enough about, or is that something that would be a real stretch for her?
I think it would be a stretch. She still is very much everything is everybody else's problem. Has that mentality. And then there's one other piece, is that I think her self-esteem has dropped a little bit because this work is harder and more challenging. And so I do think that she's feeling more of an awareness that she has it harder than her peers. And so if her teachers correct her, she gets very defensive. Because I think she wants to be on track, and she wants to be doing as well as everybody else and not needing any redirection or correction.
So that's another great opportunity for both you and for the school, right? So if the teachers, and I don't know whether you have an accommodation set in place for her, but, you know, explicitly talking about, you know, going out of your way to praise her for things she does well, you know, if you spend time at home really doing some celebration of the things, you know, going overboard on celebration a little bit of some of the things she's doing really well, noticing the grades that she, you know, the time she gets really good grades and kind of ignoring the stuff that's not going well. I mean, all of those sorts of things can try to level that off if she's feeling a little bit beat up under, you know, the reality of a harder classroom situation.
Yeah.
What kinds of things do you think you could do in that regard?
Well, we had, she had this test that she had to do a retake on because she got a 0 out of 14 the first time she took it. And gosh, we studied, and she studied through fall break, and she took it this Monday, and we haven't, maybe she knows the grade, but she hasn't shared it. She came home and looked at her stats and said, I think I maybe got a 4. Maybe. Like, she wasn't even confident. And so it's sort of moments like that that I really want to make sure that we have that to celebrate her effort. Because, hey, a 4 is better than a 0. You know, that's something that is, I'm trying to be careful because my husband wants to go out and buy her a toy, and I'm kind of like, well, I think that's where the celebration is hard to figure out. If it's enough.
So what is it about it that's hard to figure out?
Well, I guess it'd be more like the reward. The celebration is good. Whether or not we should reward her or not, that's, I think there's a question mark there. You know, but we've been very positive of, hey, you know, you really worked hard, and if a 4 was your best that day, then we're really proud of how much effort you put in, and we'll just figure out how, you know, we need to keep adjusting our study methods so that we can continue to make forward progress. I don't know if the disclaimer that stuff is good or not.
Yeah, so I think that's so, again, it's the sort of what's your goal? And so what I'm hearing from you is you don't want to give her a reward because you don't want to send the message that it's good enough.
Is
that what you're saying?
I think the reward concern would be more that she's going to expect to take a shopping trip to pick out a toy every time she takes a test. I'm totally okay with celebrating the fact that she improved her score and leaving it at that, knowing that it's probably unrealistic that she, you know, is going to score really well every time or even a majority of the time on a test that. So,
well, and that makes sense. The opportunity is to really kind of notice what it is that motivates her and have a handful of things besides going to the store that are motivating and paying attention to those and using them as much as you can. Some kids love just an atta girl, and some kids need a larger incentive to kick their brain in, and it's about knowing where she sits on that scale.
Yeah, so that maybe, you know, within reason, we don't need to spend a whole lot, get a really big gift, but just something small is a good incentive, and we shouldn't feel guilty about that if that's something that encourages her to put more effort.
Well, the thing that kind of just popped into my head, Mary, that I don't know if you've read anything about the love languages, but I had a really great conversation a few years ago with a teacher about love languages in the classroom. And it's really helpful to know what are the things that really are, what is your child's love language? And so some kids like a gift, and some kids like time together, and some kids like words of appreciation, and some kids like a hug or a high five. I mean, and that's where this kind of ties in, is knowing what is it that makes her feel appreciated and valued.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Gifts are definitely one of her top 2, top 3 for sure.
There you go. So Melanie, anything coming up for you as we're talking?
Not particularly.
Okay. So where are you with, you've been processing while we've been talking about mornings and, you know, what you want to do and tackle there. Is it more about activating your brain? Is it more about finding ways to shorten the wake-up time? Or the wake, what do we call it? The warm-up time.
Yeah, the largest variability in morning to morning is on me in terms of me activating my brain and keeping it in gear.
So what do you notice is different from day to day?
How well I've slept and what time I wake up.
Is that something you have?
Really raring to go, and other times it's about peeling myself from being flat and melty.
So, how much control do you have over that?
Not a whole lot.
I ask because some women of a certain age, and I'm in that group, it's like I have no idea what nights I'm going to sleep well and what nights I'm not. A lot of times it has to do with the full moon. Other times it has to do with how busy my day is, you know?
It's the full moon. It's how many times the air conditioning or heater cycles at night. It's the outdoor temperature and humidity. I mean, it's as many variables as I can be in charge of, I am attentive to. And then there's the letting go and seeing what happens. In my ideal world, I wake up about an hour before I need to wake anybody else up so I can meditate and then move into my day, and that tends to work really well. And it's harder on the days where my sleep just says, nope, we're not getting up yet.
Got it.
And I've been doing a lot of thinking and pondering and just sitting at the intersection of willing and able. In terms of activating my own brain,
and that was,
and
that was actually the question. Well, and that's the question I was going to actually ask, Melanie, is that if we get into the habit of feeling like we have to have it a certain way in order to wake up, I mean, this is kind of exactly what you're observing in your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's real have to, and then there's habit have to, and I can't decide for you which this is.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, what do you want to experiment with? Because the reality is that there are times that you could wake up and do a 5-minute meditation or find some quick sort of something you could do potentially to kind of get going and get your brain activating. And it may be that, no, this is it, absolutely your bare minimum of what you need. And,
right.
And so I guess the challenge is, how do you play with this a little bit and say, are there, you know, could you have like 3 different versions of your waking up routine? One is if you've got an hour, one is if you've got 15 minutes, one is if you've got 45 minutes that could be potentially be equally as effective relatively equally as effective.
And I do that, and what ends up getting dropped is me showering, but among other things. And the meditation can be as short as 1 minute. You know, I do flex it to the amount of time we have available. Where I run into is that when I am willing to get up, but I'm not able to get up. You know, that's kind of one of the places that I experience my own ADHD is that, okay, body, brain says go, whenever, come on, we're waiting on you. And doing that without engaging the inner critic. I've spent a lot of time breaking the trying to beat myself out of bed thing, which never really worked all that well. So these days I try and either hyper-focus or love myself out of bed, but some days it works, and some days,
well, so I guess, Melanie, the question is, if it's some days it works and some days it doesn't, is it about figuring out how to give yourself grace on those days that it doesn't and know that those are going to be the days that you're going to get to school 20 minutes later? And you focus on the days that you can control your brain-body connection? Or do you keep trying different things until you find the right formula? What are you inspired to try?
I'm inspired to continue looking for those micro tweaks, you know, each one that gives me another 2 or 3 minutes, or, you know, a faster transition here or there, or, you know, I mean, and yes, my husband and I do pass it around in terms of, you know, if I need him to step up, he can. If he needs me to step up, I will. It's just difficult.
Yeah.
And I don't think the difficulty level is going to substantially decrease until the 8-year-old discovers her own inner propulsion instead of it all coming from me when my engine
is. So I guess that this is a question. Is the goal great? You know, is you're going to have 2 mornings out of 10 that are pretty yucky. You know,
yeah.
Is the goal to have it be 2 days out of 15 and then 2 days out of 20 and then 2 days, you know, or is it kind of just staying at 2 days out of 10 for a while and knowing that, okay, today's one of those days, I'm going to be resilient and move through it. What feels the right?
My goal is to get it to where we're getting to school on time at least one day a week.
Well, and there you go. And that's the piece of it. And what I would say is that if you focus on the process, not just the outcome,
mm-hmm.
what would be the process measures that you would add? I'm being all fancy with you because I know you're an academic. What would the process measures be that you would add in there?
I would really like to see Margaret getting dressed or attempting to get dressed before her sister leaves for school. They go to the same school with the same start time. And the older girl is just like out the door, self-propelled, 8 o'clock every morning. You could set your watch by her.
So what is it about having her do it before her sister that is important for you?
So just having her get dressed before her sister leaves for the morning, because once she's dressed, then it's just hair, toothbrushing, coat, shoes, backpack, out the door. And so if I can get the dressed to by 8 o'clock, I have a fighting chance of getting the rest out the door in time.
Okay.
Or more of a fighting chance.
Okay. So how old is she?
She's 8.
8. I was just going to say that the idea that just popped into my mind, that I had a client who used to do this, that they would actually wear school clothes to bed. And they would get up the next morning and be dressed already. But you can't do that at every age. You might be able to do that at 8. I don't know how you feel about that kind of hygiene or that kind of sleep situation.
I would be perfectly happy to do that, and my child is uninterested.
Uninterested.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Every time I've proposed that as an idea, I've gotten the, no, I don't want to do that.
So I guess I'm curious. It seems like a lot of times you propose ideas to her and she rejects them. What?
Mm-hmm.
What balance do you have between holding her accountable for trying something versus throwing up the flag and saying no a bunch of times? I mean, I'm just curious.
She's pretty stubborn and determined, so if it's her own idea, she'll go for it. So I can plant ideas, and sometimes I get lucky, and we can move forward with something. I've chosen to put my foot down about taking meds, bedtime, getting to school every day, even if it's late, and, you know, keeping the teeth brushed. Oh, and not too much in the way of snacks. But past that, I just don't have energy for more putting the foot down. And she's,
well, I guess I'm saying something different, which is it kind of leaves you in this black hole, right? Because you want her to participate and collaborate, and if she says no, then it stops because you don't have the emotional energy to kind of engage her differently. And I guess that one of the things a lot of parents have success with is, okay, you don't have to do what I'm telling you to do, and I also need you to come up with a couple ideas, or I need you to work with me to come up with some ideas that you will try. So we need to do something. I don't care what it is, but we need to try something. What do you want to try?
Okay.
And I think that that's if you're holding her accountable, and it's not putting your foot down, it's really holding her accountable. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, mm-hmm. you don't want to do this. What are three things we might try instead? And then let's pick one of them.
Yeah, and that's going to be a long series of very small conversations, because when she doesn't want to talk about something, she shuts it down pretty.
Yeah. Well, and you know best when you can and can't have those conversations with her, and you know that, you know, in the morning she's more triggered, and, you know, it's that sort of finding how to open up this door over time. Mm-hmm. Does that feel like a worthy cause to get her engaged?
Yeah, I mean the fact is, the fact that she suggested getting up an hour earlier, you know, that was huge progress, that she actually had an idea, even if she didn't like the implication of working with that idea.
Well, and the thing I would challenge you to consider, and I mm-hmm. can't tell you what the consequences are of letting your daughter get 1 hour less sleep, but I would consider being willing to try it with some measures and saying, mm-hmm. okay, let's try it for a week and see how you do, and here's how we'll know whether you're getting enough sleep or not.
Yeah, and we might end up trying that around time change. We might not. I've got a household disruption.
You've got to decide what the risk is. Yeah, so you've got to decide what kind of risk you want to take.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of this, is that if it's going to be a detective game, it's about figuring out what you will and won't try.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. All right.
I think getting her to eventually give 2 or 3 other ideas of things that we could try before we start narrowing it down, I think is the way to go.
Well, yeah, and if she has a hard time coming up with ideas, saying, how about if you come up with 2 and I come up with 1 or something mm-hmm. like that. So you're kind of mm-hmm. collaborating on the idea generation. So, cool. All right, so I'm going to take us back to the workbook, to the wrap-up questions on page 27. Take some notes. What did you focus on or pay much attention to today? What's your clarity, your takeaway? What aha did you have? What's a realistic action step for you to take? And how do you set yourself up for success with this action? So I'd love to hear from both of you at least one aha and one action item. Let's see.
You know, I think what you said about focusing on the process and not the outcome is really key, because I think that keeps us from discouragement of not getting there and, you know, maybe as fast as we would want. And I think that's something that we need to continue to improve on, celebrating the process and the effort. I feel like we have made big progress on just letting go of expectations that, you know, we're going to have a star student on our hands anytime soon, and just helping make sure that Bella's self-esteem and self-confidence is growing, whether or not her grades are showing it. And I want to, the takeaway, I think, is celebrating and not feeling guilty for celebrating, because I think there's that part of me that I definitely want to celebrate, and it seems like, because I know she loves gifts, that's where I think my husband and I feel guilty about, you know, giving her stuff. But I think I just need to let go of the guilt, because if that does bring her joy and encouragement, and if it works, then what's the problem? that's worth it more than, I don't know, teaching her to be a minimalist, I suppose, because now we have a house full of gifts that we've bought, but we just have to embrace that.
Well, you'll figure that out, and I think that's the piece of it, is just, you know, notice what's working, what's not, and make adjustments as you need to.
Yeah.
Cool.
cool.
Yeah. And we'll just,
Melanie, what about you?
Make adjustments later. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I think just still, you know, more micro conversations about possible ways of tweaking the morning routine until we find something we're both willing to try.
Great.
Awesome.
All right. Great call today, ladies. Just from a scheduling perspective, next week is, let me just pull up my calendar. Next week is an office hours week. The office hours call is on Tuesday at noon. And then we've got an off week because we're going to be at a conference in St. Louis for the week. And then PSS will be the week of the 12th again.
Great.
Okay.
All right, ladies.
Good. All right.
Have a great week.
So
talk to you soon.
You too.
You too.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.